there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, is from verse 24 to chapter 5, verse 2. So hear now the word of God. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Thus says the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, as we read through this account of Christian behavior and godliness and Christ-likeness, we ask that you do convict us, that you speak to our hearts, that you reveal to us so totally, Lord, where we fall and where we may progress and do better. Holy Spirit, we know that the truth of God's word will be made clear to us, that you will illuminate it, and you will speak to our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we may walk in the footsteps of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last couple times, as I was preparing for my sermons, I send out those emails and texts, and it's on Facebook and so forth, of my little devotionals every day. Last several weeks have been in groups. Well, this last one was such. And it talks about this Christ-likeness, this idea of laying aside that which we should not do and putting on the clothing of Christ, that which we should do. And so from that, let me just start with this idea in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And it says, put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Ephesians 4, 25, what is to follow through 5, 2, guides you in this Christ-like behavior. In other words, it is a guide, but when you have a guide, what do you do? You follow, right? And so there's action, in other words. There's activity. And when the Holy Spirit guides you in your life and we're being guided to Christ-like behavior, there's an action then on our part. And so as he guides you in this behavior, you must be then intentional to lay aside, to get rid of, to throw out your old self. You know, it really no longer exists. And put on or clothe yourself in Christ, your new self, in the likeness of God. And that's what this section talks about. And it's very convicting. First, in 4:25, it says, lay aside falsehood. In other words, lying to one another. Put on loving truthfulness. 4:25, it says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each one of you with his neighbor, because we're members of one another. You know, chapter 4 talks about the behavior of the Christian in the church, in other words, toward one another. But it is also a guide to behavior in life as well, too. And in life, if you go around lying to other people, is that a good thing? That's not good. We know that. As a believer in the body of Christ, you're supposed to put on this truthfulness. You're supposed to want to be honest. Don't lie, be honest. I mean, it's pretty simple. And it's not talking about brutal honesty. Because that doesn't edify anybody usually. It doesn't help people when, you know, you know the term that you're brutally honest. I suppose sometimes it does, but not generally it doesn't. And you know, you all know that, I believe. It's loving truth that we need to give to one another. You give the truth in love. Brutal honesty, it's typically done to tear down someone, isn't it? And you do that out of malice. You're thinking about tearing them down, as opposed to loving truth that builds others up out of love for their well-being. That's what we're called to do. Beloved, you just don't lie to one another. Don't lie to people in the church. Don't lie to people outside the church, because then your word can never be trusted. Now, when we look at John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, Jesus, he could and he can always be trusted. His Word was and is and always will be true. He is the model that we have. He is the truth. The living truth spoken in love. And we're to emulate that truth. We're to follow Jesus' example. You can do it. If you are bound in the chain, you can release that chain. There's nothing holding you there. You are capable, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to break that chain. And in fact, the chain no longer exists. You are no longer a servant of evil if you're a believer in Christ. You are no longer bound to your fallen nature anymore. You are no longer a slave to sin. So you can break that chain of lying. And following Christ and his example, you can give loving truth to others when it's hard to do. And you can always speak truth. You're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know, you can just listen, and that concept, wake up and put on Christ. You can do it. Second, it's telling us to lay aside out of control anger and to put on self-control and peace. Now, in verses 26 and 27, it says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. A lot of people use this verse to talk about righteous anger. In other words, that's acceptable to do. I mean, Jesus did it when he talked to the Pharisees, and Jesus did it when he went in and he tore the temple of the money changers and so forth. Well, righteous anger is an acceptable anger if it's the hate of sinfulness, not the hate of the sinner. And anyway, I don't believe that's what this verse is talking about. What it's talking about is that any kind of anger, if it's left unattended, is going to have consequences. If it's left unattended, it's going to be dangerous to your life. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer bound to our sinful human nature. That's gone away. Now, do we still sin? Yeah, we do, but we don't have to. When we are fallen human beings, we can't help but to sin. It's in our nature to do that. Christ relieves us from that. And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who counsels you, who guides you, who convicts you, you don't have to continue that way anymore. And so what ends up happening in your life, if you think about it, your fallen human nature is still kind of there, isn't it? Because you have to get rid of these things, but it's not in you. It's kind of this, in this analogy that Paul uses, is this idea of laying aside. It's kind of this old, tattered, nasty old cloak that you're still wearing. Like, you don't have to wear it, but we do. And anger, if you think about it, is kind of like this big pocket in this cloak that the devil can get in your old nature cloak. And he can provoke you, tempt you to heinous hate and bitterness and intentional harm and even murder. Still possible. Because anger is the brew of uncontrolled behavior. Anger happens when we lose control. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 24, that unrighteous, uncontrolled anger is sin even if we don't act on it. That it's not only sin to murder somebody, it's a sin to be angry at somebody even in your head. So then internal self-control that leads to peaceful reconciliation is where the thought of the human Christian life is to be, that is guided by the Holy Spirit and the walk of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to put on when unrighteous, sinful anger starts to heat up your heart. And you, once again, are capable of this self-control. You're able to do it because Christ lives in you. You're capable to do it because of the Spirit who is in you, the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So we are to exercise Christ-likeness and be a blessing to others. Lay aside out-of-control anger and put on self-control and peace. Now, the third part of this is we're to lay aside lazy, unrighteous behavior and activity. And we are to put on active, honest labor. We're to be a contributor to the world around us, and we are to share. Verse 28 says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." You think of it this way. Paul is not talking about thieves here that go around stealing stuff. I mean, he's not all of a sudden now speaking to this small group in the church that happened to go around stealing things. You're no longer to steal the time God has given you. We all have X amount of breaths, right? From the time we're born to the time we pass away. And that time is of God. If you are a Christian, you're a believer in Christ, you're no longer to steal this time that God's given you in self-righteous endeavors designed to promote and raise yourself up. That's autonomous idolatry. That's worshiping yourself. You're no longer a slave to sin, once again. You're a bondservant of Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 tells, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that your body of sin is done away with, so that we're no longer slaves to sin, because he who has died is freed from sin. In the midst of our sinfulness and lying, in the midst of out-of-control anger, in the midst of lazy and righteous activity, we no longer have to participate in that. You have one nature in Christ. You are changed. You are a new creation. Your sinful nature has been redeemed, but it still clings to you like this nasty, stinking, stained, unrighteous, tattered cloak that you're now empowered by the Holy Spirit to shed throughout your life. Because you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He's given you this new nature. You're created for a special purpose. You are a unique member of the body of Christ. To understand that you are no longer compelled by selfish motives, but you're set free to do honest labor. You're set free to contribute with the spiritual gift that God has given you. That's awesome. That's wonderful. And you can unselfishly share with others. And so we lay aside, rip off this old coat of lazy, unrighteous activity, and we concentrate on it, we keep our eyes heavenward, and we put on active, honest labor, contribution, and sharing, like Christ. The fourth piece tells us that you've got to lay aside unwholesome talk. Lay aside, stop it. Put on encouraging, edifying, helpful, and beneficial speech. You can't let, in verse 29, unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up and according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The words that you use indicate what's on your heart. Jesus says in Luke 6:45 that a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Mouth is dangerous. Let me ask you this. When your eyes are not focused on Christ, when your eyes are not focused heavenward, does your speech resemble worldly, filthy language? Is there gossip? Do you engage in slander, false witness, lying, half-truths, bitterness, discouragement, anger, resentment, vindictiveness? Those sorts of things come out of your mouth. Negative, unwholesome talk of any other kind. Your tongue can be a sharp dagger in the heart of others. Amen. When you do that as a Christian, you run the risk, a very real risk, of destroying your living gospel witness when your eyes concentrate on earthly things. Your speech then is not a benefit to anyone. Rather, it's a detriment to your Christian walk. It's a detriment to how others see you. Put off such speech. Put it off. Lay aside an evil tongue. The Holy Spirit, I know this happens to me, you know, especially you're driving a car, you're doing something, and boy, something blurts out of your mouth, doesn't it? And like, ooh, and you know right away, I shouldn't be thinking that, I shouldn't be doing that, I shouldn't be saying that. Amen? Have you been there? But see, the difference is that we have the Holy Spirit convicting us. That's the difference between us and the world. Our sinful human nature is gone, but we still have this old tattered cloak. So we're capable of Christ-like behavior. Proverbs 21:3 says, "He who guards his mouth and tongue guards his soul from troubles." Psalm 39:1 advises that I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. In other words, think before you speak. Focus heavenward for heavenly words. When you were growing up, didn't your mother or father tell you, you have two ears and one mouth? You should listen twice as much as you talk. When the eyes of your heart are seeking God, it's so much easier to guard your tongue. It's so much easier to speak forth things that are encouraging, edifying, helpful, and beneficial to those around you. And this speech that resembles the heart of Christ is going to magnify, not tear down, your testimony to others, your living witness to others. It's going to bless them, and it's going to bless you. There's no room for guilt in godly communication with others. The clean hands and pure heart of Christ that you're clothed in allows you to put on blessed talk. And so, eyes up to God, then speak. Think before you speak. Heavenly eyes. Fifth is this idea of laying aside, then now all disobedience. Put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. 30 to 32 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." What Paul is saying here is that, remember, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you believe with true faith, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That is a reality. It is listed in Scripture, in Acts, in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, in Ephesians, in 2 Timothy, in James. Jesus speaks of it to his apostles of sending them, the Counselor. Do you believe that? Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe? The Holy Spirit indwells you. The person of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, lives in you. So, wherever you go, he's right here. He's right here whether you like it or not. It's so important to understand that reality. That is a spiritual, supernatural event that occurs in the hearts of human beings who give their life to Christ. But it is a reality now for the rest of your life. God is with you. He will never forsake you. The Holy Spirit is there. Now, if you can imagine, now see, we look at that in a spiritual sense. And so it's easy somewhat to forget. It's easy to leave that heavenly focus of our eyes and come back down to humanity and get involved in all kind of earthly nasty things, isn't it? Think of it this way. What if Christ, what if Jesus had in a physical body, was by your side every second of the day? How would you behave? Would you react differently to like various situations in your life with him right there beside you? Would you think twice before you said something that you might regret? Would you be more sensitive to being obedient to God with his presence in everything you think, do, or say? Yet this is exactly the case in the spiritual sense of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. You've all heard this. It's said that the true test of your character is what you do when no one is looking. Beloved, for a Christian, that's never the case. It's never the case because the Holy Spirit is always looking. The Holy Spirit is always there. He's always with you. Therefore, you can't escape grieving him by your disobedience. It's inescapable. He will never leave you. You are assured of that. The positive side is because he is always present, you have the power to avoid disobedience. You are not powerless. You are a new creation in Christ. You can lay aside lying, out of control behavior, laziness, unrighteous activity, unwholesome talk, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, mouths. You can rip these clothes off of that old cloak that you wear as you walk with God. And so instead of grieving the Holy Spirit, give him reason to rejoice when you clothe yourself in kindness and compassion and forgiving others and remembering the reality of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and the forgiveness you received in God through Christ. Amen? You lay aside all disobedience, all the stuff we talk about. Lay it aside. Put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Give others a foretaste of Jesus through your Christ-like actions. You know, we can bring aspects of heaven here on earth by behaving like Jesus in a Christ-like manner. And so Paul sums all of this up in 5:1 and 2. And he says to be imitators of God, be Christ-like. Once again, lay aside your old self, put on your new self. Therefore, be imitators of God, he says in verse 1, as beloved children. Verse 2, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The whole conclusion to this righteous, Christ-like living, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can be summed up in one word, and that's love. In order to be imitators of God, it's important to understand and feel his everlasting love for you. It's all through Scripture and Genesis through Revelation, but we know John 3:16, right? So God so loved the world. He loved the world that he sent his only Son. But whosoever should believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. He has great love for you. In order to be imitators of God, it's important to understand. It's important to feel that. Not just to mentally acknowledge it, but to feel it in your heart. And always remember then that you are a beloved child of God. Now, all of us come from various circumstances and various lives, and we look at our earthly fathers, and they weren't perfect. But our Heavenly Father is. And hopefully there were those times in your life that you just felt the comfort and arms of your Father around you. See, that's what we need to know. And if you've never felt that in real life, that's, you can imagine it. Because that's what God does to you. He holds you close. He loves you with an everlasting love. And so it's far easier, and this is the point, it's far easier to walk in love when you know that you are loved. Right? We lay aside all ungodly thoughts and actions, and out of that sprouts and grows love for God, not duty for God. Not called to do that. You're called to follow the example of Jesus who loved you even to death on the cross. The servant king. And we are the body of Christ that takes this servant king out beyond these walls and shows and shares him with others. Through Jesus' love for his heavenly Father and their love for you, you're brought into this family of God through faith in Christ. That is a reality. Jesus Christ is our model for the clothing we wear. He's the ultimate example of sacrificial love. You're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So continue to put on Christ-like thoughts and actions. loving truthfulness, self-control and peace, active honest labor, contribute your spiritual gifts, share with others, use encouraging, edifying, helpful speech. It's a benefit to others. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. All of the above can only be, think of this, can only be truly done when you realize God's love for you and you intentionally demonstrate and share your love for others in Christ likeness. Be imitators of God, Christ-like. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we know that you just bring us into your kingdom. You are great and awesome, Lord. You call us out into this, from this world that we live in. You call us out to make a difference, to be salt and light, to go out beyond these walls into that mission field of life in our families, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our spouses, with our children. So, Lord, we make a just passionate appeal to you to help us put on Christ all the time. Holy Spirit, even speak louder in our lives than you already do. Keep our eyes focused heavenward. Father, we thank you for that. You separate us out. We are holy because of you and the family of God. May that be a reality in our lives. May we be imitators of you like Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.